Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Ephesians chapter 3, and if I have a, which I consider this, but if I have a life verse, this would be my life verse, which it's actually a bunch of verses, but specifically the part where we're going to end. This has been something that came to me a long time ago. And the reason why is because if I know that I have inadequacies, I know I have inadequacies. If there is a such thing as punting beyond your coverage, as they say, that's what my life has been. And of course, some of you are probably saying, what are you talking about? That's football. In other words, shooting beyond what I'm capable of, because any day that I step into the office, I am not capable of what I do, but it's through the Holy Spirit in me that I'm able to do what I do. Amen? And I want you to know, and I want to extol you today and allow you to understand some biblical truths, some things about God and what He can do in your life. In the book of Ephesians, beginning with the verse 9, and I'm going to read it for the sake of time. It says, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's going to use me to speak to some important people. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And here it is. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about God's vision in your hands. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would give me what it takes to make preaching effective. I pray that you would anoint me today for these people, not for me, God, not to puff me up, not to make anything happen like that, God, but for these people. God, because you understand that if I speak alone, I'm just a man with a lot of words and often very foolish. But Father, when you speak, lives can be changed, hearts can be mended, and Lord, chains can be broken. And we ask all of this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. So here we have the Apostle Paul. And of course, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And where he's at, he is in a Roman prison at approximately 62 A.D., while he was in Rome, he was in chains. But yet Paul, while in chains, extols the church not to lose heart in his present condition. He says, don't let this get you down. Don't let my situation depress you. He says, but understand that I suffer, and God has still not lost His capabilities. That even in this situation, God is still strong. God is still gracious. God is still more than able. He says that I'm not suffering necessarily for God only, but for you and my fellow brethren. Which is honestly quite an epiphany. That at times we may think, God, am I suffering for your sake? Why am I suffering? But at many times, he might allow suffering for your brother, for your sister, for your neighbor. That in this situation, Paul is made pliable. That Paul is made vulnerable. But that God could operate through him in his state of vulnerability. He is a man that no doubt is in the lowest possible places of his life. But yet he still declares, God is able. Amen? My very first point to you this morning is that my situation does not limit his capabilities. That just because you might feel like you're in chains, that just because you might feel like you're in bondage, it doesn't limit the capabilities of the God that you serve. Paul reminds the church that this road that's led him on sufferings, it doesn't reflect the power and the glory of God. See, often we develop a vision and an idea of God based upon what we're going through. How many of you have been there and said, well, I believe God exists, but if he loved me, why is this happening? If he really was all-powerful, why is this happening? And we assume that God is limited by our capabilities. So how can you judge a God based upon your present circumstance? How can you judge a God that exists outside of time based upon one moment in your life? How is it possible for you to take a being that is eternal, that when he sees time, he sees it at the beginning and he sees it at the ending? When he sees your life, he sees it at inception and he sees it at the ending. That God doesn't look at your present moment and define your capabilities nor his capabilities based upon one moment in time, but he says, look what I have began with and look where we're going. Amen. You see, when the three Hebrew children were about to be thrown in the fiery furnace, I believe that at the moment they were about to go in, they probably were faced with a little bit of doubt. As a matter of fact, they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able. They affirm the fact that he's capable of delivering us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand. In other words, he's not only going to deliver us out of this, but he's going to deliver us out of this. But then he said, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we're still not going to serve your God and we're still not going to serve your idols. That tells me that they went in with a little bit of doubt. They went in saying, I know God's able. I know God's capable. I don't see it because that's the hottest fire I've ever seen. I don't see it because I see the guards and I see the trouble around me. But I know you're able somewhere out there. I know you're capable somewhere out there. But even if you don't do it, I'm still not going to bow. I want you to know this morning that just because your present situation looks like a fire, just because your present situation looks like it's impossible odds, it doesn't mean God can't rescue you out of the midst of it. They might have looked at it and they said, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. If we should understand this, we should understand that, one, we should never measure our problems by our capacity to deal with them. Don't ever look at your situation based upon your capabilities. Don't ever look at your situation based upon your education. Don't ever look at your situation based upon your understanding of life. You need to understand that when God inhabits you, that when God lives in you, that it doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter about your capabilities. It doesn't matter about your upbringing, your experiences, or what you had to deal with in life. That when God's in it, anything can happen. And number two, our problems should always be measured by the capacity of the agent that's doing the work. Who does Paul say the agent is? He says that it's the power that works in you. What is that power that works in you? It's the Spirit of the living God. He says that according to the riches of His glory, He might grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. You need to turn to your neighbor and say, it ain't you doing it anyways. It's God working in you that's doing it. But number two, God's vision involves your hands. God's vision involves sometimes your sweat. God's vision involves your tears at time, your blood at time, your energy at time. It might be His work. It might be His Spirit, but it's going to involve your hands. Paul says, how are we going to do it? He says, with the power that works in you. You mean God's going to do things that are beyond my imagination and He's going to do them with my hands? You mean God's going to answer a miracle in my life and He's going to do it with my hands? I wonder if there's any mamas or daddies in here and you've been wondering if your kids are going to turn back to Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning, yeah, He's going to do it and you're going to have a play in it. I wonder if there's any business owners in here and you don't know if you have what it takes to turn your business around. I wonder if you would just get it in your spirit today that when His Spirit inhabits you, He's going to do it. He's going to do it with His presence, but it's going to be your hands. Paul says, how's this miracle going to take place? Well, it's going to be through you. I'm going to confound the authorities through you. I'm going to confound the wise through you. I'm going to come on you with something that you've never experienced before. And you're going to speak things you didn't know you knew. And you're going to have abilities that you didn't know you had. And you're going to have experiences that you didn't know you had. And you're going to have an education that you didn't know you had. Because I'm working in you. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He says, when my Spirit comes on you, there's going to be power in it. That Greek word is dunamis. It also means might. In other words, when you feel like you don't have what it takes, all of a sudden something's going to come in at the last minute and you're going to say, I got this. That means when you feel like you're over your head, when you feel like the waters are so deep you can't grab the next breath of air, He's going to say, at the last minute, I'm going to come in with a power that you've never felt before. And I'm going to give you something that's right straight from the throne room of God. I wonder if there's anybody in here that you feel like you're drowning. If there's anybody in here that you feel like you don't have what it takes, I want you to know God's coming in and He's going to bring it right at the last minute. It is His Spirit and your flesh working together. Now Galatians, now the word says, but here's the deal. The key is you have to let the Spirit lead. So we can have this idea that we allow the Spirit and the flesh to work together. We say, come in, Holy Spirit, do what you will, but I need you to do it like this and like this and like this, and this has got to happen first. And by the way, I have my agenda for you if you need it. No, no, no. The key is to let the Spirit lead. And then the flesh shows up and says, what do we do now? Galatians 5:17 says, for the desires of the flesh and the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the Spirit's against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The key to the Spirit and the flesh working together is your will's got to die. What you think you want out of it has got to die. Your inroad has got to succumb to whatever He says. And then when that happens, That moves over and allows room for the Holy Spirit to come in and say, okay, now I can do exactly, because I'm the one who does things beyond your imaginations. See, right now you're operating off your imagination. Right now you're operating off of what you've known, what you've seen, and you're saying, I need this, I need this, I need this. Well, I'm about to introduce you to a new miracle that you've never even seen before. Like the prophet Abraham. Like our forefather Abraham, he gets up to the mountain. Now you have to understand, he says to his son, he says, don't you worry. He says that even if God allows me to take your life, he'll raise you up. He had never seen a resurrection before, but he knew in the God he served that was able to do that much more than I can think, ask, or imagine. He says, you have to understand this, that when you limit your flesh to only your will, you limit the amount of power that can flow through you. When you limit your flesh to only doing what you will, the power cannot flow through you. Look at David and his sling. He could have easily stepped up to Goliath and went out there and just gave it a whirl. And he might have missed and looked like a fool. But he got out there, he says, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you. He didn't even mention his sling. He didn't even mention his hands. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. It was God's spirit, but it was his hands. I wonder if there's anybody in here you can get this morning, that it's going to be God's power, God's provision, God's anointing, God's will, but it's going to be your hands. It's going to be your feet. It's going to be your sweat. It's going to be your words. It's going to be your voice. But God's power. Number three says, when God uses human hands for heavenly things, he gets the glory. Because people look at you and they say, no, 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 no. I know you. I know you, Justin. I remember every once in a while, there'll be one of them that remember me from BC. And they'll say, hey, Justin, you remember that time you... What? No. Don't you mess up what I got going on. Some of y'all are acting all dignified and holy. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That ain't me. Because who I am now is... Everything, yeah, you know I'm not capable alone. Yeah, you know that in myself, I'm not educated enough to do this. But with you, all things are possible. The Bible says in verse 21, it says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. In other words, I'm about to do things in you that are beyond your imaginations. They're beyond what you think can happen. And the reason why is I'm going to get the glory in all of it. Hallelujah. Amen? He said, and then, so when God uses fallible human hands to do things that only he can do, he's the only one that gets the glory. When Peter and John were walking through the streets, people were astonished because even their shadow was healing people. And he says that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. You have to understand that he gets the attention when he uses your hands. Amen? Hallelujah. Now as we close, I want you to know this. That many times we look and we wait for God to do the miracle. We say, God, it's going to happen. God, it's going to happen. Let me tell you a little bit about my wife. So when I get people that are trying to sell me something or scam artists or whatever, I usually just hang up on them. I just hang up. Not my wife. She uses that moment to share the gospel. Now, it ain't always received very well. I said, why do you wait? And listen, it's human. Why do you waste your time? She goes, that's still a soul. It's not wasting my time. I know there are some of you in here, you might even feel so defeated. And every person, if you could stand just for a moment. And yeah, we're going to go into baptism. If you are getting baptized this morning, would you go ahead and make your way? Ladies over here on my right, your left. Men over here on my left, your right. And I ask you this, that as they're getting ready to do this, I want you to know that baptism is a very important thing here. We want you to stick around for it. After the benediction, let's just not leave. Stick around and celebrate with them. Let them know that you support them. Amen? But I want to speak to you this morning that if you're one of those that you have failed to see what you've prayed for, that you've been praying, and you've been hoping, and you've been asking, and you've been saying, God, I know this miracle is on its way. I would ask you this morning that you would say very simply, God, today, is it my hands you've been waiting for? Is it my feet you've been waiting for? Is it my heart you've been waiting for? I need this miracle, God. Have you been waiting for my sweat? Have you been waiting for my tears? Because God, if that's what you're waiting on, use me. I'm yours. Could you pray that right now? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray for this congregation. Father, I pray that you would speak to them in a way to let them know that you can use them in any capacity when they allow you to lead. Father, I pray that you would anoint them this day. I pray that answers would be given. I pray that direction would be given. God, I pray that somebody in here, that they've been waiting a long time for the right answer, the right time. God, I pray that you would make it clear and plain before them as they submit their will to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if there's anybody in here, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you would like to know him this morning, is there anybody in here? I believe that everybody in here is saved. I'm going to assume everyone in here is saved. Let's pray and rejoice right now and say, God, do it through me. Would you say that? God, do it through me. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.